on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome in H-Town.
What's happening, Houston? You know what it do. You know what it is. You know what this is. Well, maybe you don't. This is the HD show.
Definitely is.
Filling in for The Bench. I'm your boy, Henry Chalmers. That's my man, Fred Davis.
That's it.
Better known as Freddie D. And John B. working the 1, 2s, and 3s coming
and
at you early
threes.
In the morning.
Coming at you early on a 7 o'clock on a Wednesday.
Early like most of us are.
Henry's favorite day.
Absolutely.
Henry's favorite day today. It is a Wednesday. It is a hump day. It is December 30th. Welcome into the program. Last day of us here. You'll have network and bowl games tomorrow to round out your 2020. And then, of course, on Friday, we will ring in the new year. So we're going to have a very interactive show for you guys. As interactive as it's going to get on a Wednesday morning at 7 o'clock from 7 to 11.
You know what? We're not even worried about that as much because you know what we're doing today? We are putting a boot to 2020.
We are putting a boot to 2020. We are putting a boot to 2020 as only we can on the bench this morning. So we got a lot to get to. We'll give you a little bit of everything, right? Because it's a Wednesday, so stuff we would normally do on a Friday, kind of preview the games ahead, kind of preview the playoffs a little bit. Now, we know there's still some maneuvering as far as a few teams here and there that's going to go down on Sunday, but news has come down from a couple places. Big Ben is going to rest on Sunday. No playing for him. Andy Reid with the Chiefs has already come out and said that he's going to rest some starters on Sunday. I mean, you talk about two teams that have already locked up their respective positions, so not a lot to gain for having them play guys on Sunday. So I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody, Henry, that you're going to – and you'll probably start to see. Now, some of the NFC teams, your Packers, your Saints, your Seahawks – they're still jockeying for those 1, 2, 3 positions. And obviously, as you know, you only with one bye week this year, you want that position. Packers are in the driver's seat right now. Of course, they've got a huge game against Chicago on Sunday. Chicago's still trying to jockey for position as well, so that's no guarantee. But listen, man, it's week 17. You know, for the teams that are in, you feel good. For teams that already have that position solidified, you feel good, Henry. But for those teams that are kind of on the fringe and or you're at the very least, you're trying to play good football before the playoffs.
Well, absolutely. You want to, you know, sharpen that metal, make sure you're going into the playoffs with, you know, the best possible team possible. But, you know, resting guys, you already got your positions locked up. I'm all for it, especially, you know, people like Big Ben. I mean, that's a good name nowadays for him, Big Ben, like an old clock.
Well, I'll tell you what, his arm moves around like an old clock sometimes, although it does come back to, come back to what it used to look like back in the day. If you're a Browns fan, that's probably the best news that you're going to get this week is the fact that Big Ben is not going to play on Sunday because we all know how much different this football team looks, that being the Pittsburgh Steelers, how much different they look when Big Ben is not there. So if you're a Cleveland team that was basically facing a win and you're in scenario, it's a much different deal when you got to play Big Ben. Obviously, you're feeling a lot better about things now that you don't have to deal with him. And you're talking about Mason Rudolph, who, again, his highlight in 2019 was
getting hit in the head with a helmet.
Taking one off the dome, courtesy of Myles Garrett.
How many penalties?
Which, ironically enough,
he's starting, and Myles Garrett's playing.
Myles Garrett's a smarter guy, though. I don't see Myles Garrett taking one off of Mason Rudolph's dome again.
I don't see that.
A lot at stake this Sunday.
But
anything's possible?
He has to be huge for their team if they're in a win in your end scenario.
Myles Garrett. Oh, no question.
So he's got to bring the funk.
Well, he's had a very good year.
Let's say he comes off the corner, dip and rip. Yeah. One of the things I teach, don't worry about it, I'll show y'all later.
Go to his YouTube page.
Yeah, do a dip and rip, come around that corner scot-free, and like a defensive end, blows up Rudolph.
Okay.
Are the officials a little sensitive to because of the rule, and then they throw a flag?
I mean, unless he does something that you would deem quarterback unfriendly, then yeah.
Yeah, but sacking him is unfriendly.
Well, I mean, depending on if he, you know, falls on him or something like that. But I mean, if he just...
Oh, really? Drew Brees gets hurt because the guy fell beside him with his arm around him, and the guy got a penalty.
Again, no one's going
to
say
I'm thinking NFL... Are they going to be too sensitive to the previous situation and just...
I mean, I guess you just got to wait and see. I'd like to think that they'll be fair. I mean, as long as it's nothing egregious and or nefarious, I think they'll be okay.
So you're saying that the official is going to be like robot-esque and just go about their business and have no emotion, no thought back on it?
Well, they're supposed to. I mean, that's what you're that's the expectation week in, week out.
I'm supposed to be 20 pounds lighter. That ain't happening.
I mean, I don't know that. I mean, listen, I don't think... I think they're going to be aware of it, but I don't think they're going to officiate the game any differently this Sunday between those two teams simply because of the history between Garrett and Rudolph. I just don't see it happening. Okay. There's too much at stake, and let's call it what it is, too. The Browns are a smarter team.
Are they?
The Browns are a smarter team this year. Oh, I mean, listen.
Last week doesn't say so. I got two of the best running backs, and I throw the ball 500 times.
When I say that they're a smarter team, is they're a better disciplined team is probably the better way to put it.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Okay, because last year this team was all over the place. There was penalties left and right. This team was a dumpster fire from the top down. Whereas this year it seems like, game plan notwithstanding. Okay. And I think we all agree last week's game plan against the Jets made absolutely zero sense at all when you consider what they have in the backfield. But no, I'm with you. I got to believe that the Cleveland Browns are going to take care of business on Sunday again, especially now that you got no Big Ben. So that's something that we're going to be watching for.
Well, how many other starters you think he's not going to play? Because I'm thinking, I mean, there's guys like a Haywood, 10-year guy.
I could see, you're banged
up a little bit.
You're longer in the tooth veterans. Maybe you put a T.J. Watt on a pitch count. All right.
I mean, he ain't old.
I mean, I know he's not, but I'm just saying, I mean, I'd rather have him a little healthier, a little
fresher,
you know? I mean, again, this is...
There's a fine line between fresh and stale. I'm going to leave this in
there. Well, hey, listen, I'll defer to you on that. There's no question about that. You need T.J. Watt. T.J. Watt is going to have to ball for you in the playoffs if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, right?
Okay,
right. And so we'll get to that. We'll break down some of the AFC playoffs here.
Hey,
and we'll give our predictions.
Yes,
we'll do that probably in the 8 or early 9 o'clock hour. So be ready for that. So we're gonna have
hit him with the famous hump day thing that we do.
Oh, you guys already know what time that's.
Y'all know what it is. It's hump day haiku time.
That's right. That's right. We haven't done them in a while, and when we have done haikus, they've been on a Thursday or whatever it is, and so it falls on whenever we're doing our show here on ESPN 97.5. So it is a hump day. And 92.5. And 92.5. That's for the folks out on what, the west side? Because the signal gets a little iffy out on the parts.
Well, according to the Twitchers and on my ride in this morning, I think our 97.5 signal might be having some issues this morning, too. So
catches that on either station.
Yep. Maybe the app.
Yeah, 92.5 I think is still working right now.
92.5
and the app. Working. Yep.
So,
all right, so 92.5 and the app is working this morning.
Okay. On point, but, you know, keep going back. Gotcha. Whichever way you get is better. Because, you know, we have a saying. Everything's better in HD. So,
ooh, I haven't said that in a while.
Let's bomb now. Let's rock that boy.
All right. So, okay. Well, real quick then. Let's. What's our topic's going to be? Obviously, one's got to be 2020. 2020 and COVID.
Didn't have to be COVID. Just 2020. Whatever you got in 2020.
Do you want
to
write one about COVID? Don't you kind of have to?
Do you?
I think you do. I mean, let's call it COVID is the, I mean, if there was a...
It's 2020, COVID.
Like if 2020 was a movie,
yeah,
2020 would be the main character.
COVID would be the main character.
COVID would be the main character.
So
who would play COVID in a movie? By the way, you know we missed Denzel's birthday the other day.
How could you?
December 28th. How could you?
How could you?
How could we both? Who would play COVID in a movie?
COVID?
Yeah. Who would play COVID in a movie?
your guy, Statham.
Jason Statham was like, oh, he's British.
you wanted to be Jet Li?
I was going
to
have an Asian actor. It's terrible.
Yeah, that's awful.
Terrible. It's terrible. Jet Li. I was going to have Bolo Young, the guy that's always fighting in those Bruce Lee movies. Bolo Young, the guy from Bloodsport. That's COVID. Bolo Young in my COVID movie. Bolo Young from Bloodsport is going to play the role of COVID. A former Chinese bodybuilder, if I'm not mistaken. So it's only right that Bolo Young plays COVID. All right. So topics are as follows. 2020, COVID. I think you got to put in B.O.B. I think you got to have B.O.B.
All right, B.O.B.
Right? I mean, and you could just put B.O.B. Texans.
That's it.
And then miscellaneous.
Four haikus. Woo, that's stretching.
Well, no, so you got 2020/COVID, B.O.B. Texans, miscellaneous.
There you go.
There's three, okay? That's going to go down in the 10 o'clock hour, okay? So we got some haikus. Don't forget to, I'll tell you what, let's tell you who the guest is in the next, we come back, all right? So we got a good show for y'all today. Want y'all's interaction as well, 713-780-3776. COVID notwithstanding, what was your number one takeaway from 2020, as well as what is your sports goal? What are you looking forward to seeing in 2021? Lots to get to. John B, HT, Freddie D, ESPN.
92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back in ESPN 97.5, Houston, Texas. Henry Thomas, 14-year NFL veteran. And if you don't know about my man Henry Thomas, if you haven't been listening the last two shows, and we've picked up a few followers on both Twitter as well as on the IG. You can follow Henry Thomas at Henry Thomas NFL. I am at the Freddie D and Third Coast Johnny. I got that right?
Yep, that's right.
Third Coast Johnny. That's J-O-H-N-N-Y.
Gotcha.
J-O-H-N-N-Y. Henry Thomas to my right. All this gentleman did, for those of you on the Twitch, see this gentleman right here just looking as debonair as always. It's hard looking this good when you're Henry Thomas.
Not that hard.
14
years.
I
wake up like this.
Somebody's got to do it. Might as well be you. 14 years starting in the National Football League, two-time Pro Bowler, two-time All-Pro, 93
and a half
career sacks, the most ever by a nose tackle in the history of the National Football League. Over 1,000, yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen, 1,000 career tackles from the nose tackle position. A Bayou Bengal, Eisenhower Eagle.
Swoop, swoop.
And the pride of the Fofo.
That'd be me.
Henry Thomas.
Hey, what's happening, Houston? Look, let's go ahead on in this year with a bang, start the new year. I know so many people are just clamoring and aching for a new beginning, a new start.
Yeah.
The government's trying to help you out, kick you a little cash, you know.
But are they going to give us the 2 G's or are they giving us 600? That's the million dollar, or I guess in this case, billion dollar question. Because our boy Mitch McConnell was holding it up. Mr. I'm not playing, you know, politics have been played too long. Then he decides that he's going to hold up the vote.
They're, at this point, when you're in the situation that most people are in, just kick the cash.
Well, no, I'm with you 110% on that. But I'm just saying, is our boy McConnell going to quit playing politics, as he alluded to and said he wasn't going to play? And actually, is the much-needed relief going to get to the American people?
They're going to get the relief. I don't know which one. You're going to get some kind of relief.
Something.
Be thankful for it. Use it the best way you can. I know people got bills that have been piling
well,
up.
Well, if you're Kevin Brady, just don't be, you know, don't be paying off Best Buy credit cards and what have you. That's why he didn't want people to get $2,000 because they might go out and, you know, pay down their credit card bill or go out and buy new stuff, which I thought that was the whole point of.
Exactly.
Well, Kevin Brady, he's special. You ever met Kevin Brady? First of all, he's about 5'3". Bald-headed. Not that there's anything wrong with being bald-headed, but just a very...
Didn't he used to play Cindy on that show?
Yeah, I think we're talking about two different...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think we're
different Brady. Kevin Brady. Sorry.
But he's such a... He's just a very... I tell you what, politicians, man, they're a weird lot. They really are. Because you just... The phoniness, just it
oozes.
It oozes off of them. So, Kevin Brady, if you're listening, 713-780-3776, or anybody from the Kevin Brady office here in the great state of Texas, because he's, I want to say what, from around the Atascocita area, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that. Probably am. But I know Kevin Brady, fake news Mapes. I don't know if his fake news extends into the political sector, but Kevin Brady, I want to say, is Atascocita, Humble, in that area, I believe, but I know he's somewhere on that side of the state. But what an asinine thing to say as far as why you would vote more relief down for people.
Yeah, so they can't pay their bills.
You know, I mean,
Best Buy credit card is a bill, right?
It's a bill. A bill's a bill.
And that money goes, if they go buy something, it's still stimulating the economy.
Exactly. Even if they do go buy, I mean, who cares?
Who are you to
decide? So we could, you know, again, and not to steer too much political here, but you know, I don't care whether whether you're right or left. It is what it is. I mean, I get it. And it's, you know what? It's your money anyway.
Yeah.
It's tax dollars. That's
exactly right. We're giving you back. So all
bailed out plenty. We've bailed out plenty of companies.
Countries.
Okay. Listen, if we're going to give millions of dollars for Pakistani gender research or gender, whatever the hell the case was or money was going to.
Well, a lot of that money's going over there.
Give the folks $1,400 extra.
Yeah, go ahead and knock it down.
I'll take it.
Listen, the weekend's coming up. Got some big games coming up for NFL.
Well, listen, you got week 17. You got the college football playoffs are going down. All right. You got NBA, which again, we're at that stage of the NBA where nobody normally when the NBA starts on time. This is the time of the year around the Christmas time where you've been picking up. You've been 2 or 3 months into it. The Christmas games are kind of the, I don't want to say the measuring stick, but you know, you're about a quarter of the way in. So you kind of separate the haves from the have nots come Christmas time. Well, I get why you did it. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic, allegedly, whatever you want to call it. And you know, you come off that, 72, 73 day off season or lack thereof for the NBA. I just, outside of, and I'll be honest with you, I think this is part of the reason why maybe the NBA didn't care about the James Harden situation was it was the most newsworthy item you had going on. Mm-hmm. Because here's the difference between the NBA and, say, the NFL. And this is where the NFL will always be. And this is where the NFL needs to – this is when you know they have jumped the shark and or interest is waning or it's a different ball game. If it doesn't matter what happens in the NFL, what time of year, you know, the old adage, did you ever watch King of New York, the movie with my man Christopher Walken? So when he's just gotten back and he tells that guy, you know, if a nickel bag gets sold in the park, I want in, right? So if a nickel bag worth of news gets done in the NFL, everybody's reporting on it.
Okay.
I mean, that's just, and it doesn't matter what time of year it is.
Okay. Right.
Let the NFL come back after 2 months. Of a 2 months off season. You couldn't do it just from the physicality of the sport.
Right.
But imagine if the NFL came back after 2 months and had the
people be going nuts.
It would be, that story would be front page. And listen, even if the NBA was in the middle of its season, like the NBA could be in the latter part of its season, the NFL could turn around and say, you know what, we're going to come back after 3 months and let her rip. It'd be wall to wall coverage. The NBA comes back after 75 days. A, they have to sell people on it. B, they have to explain why they're doing it. And then C, come to the grips that, okay, we're going to put this crappy slate of Christmas games together, which really don't mean much in the grand scheme of things because it's really it's the opening weekend, so nobody really cares. We've got, dare I say, LeBron. I mean, we have LeBron fatigue in the NBA. The NBA's got an issue, and here's the problem. The NBA, the NFL was starting to have New England fatigue a little bit. We were tired of seeing New England over, and we were tired of seeing Tom Brady over and over and over again.
Greatness, I guess.
You hate greatness when there's really nobody else to battle with it, to challenge it, right? So when it goes unimpeded.
How long are we going to, are you ever going to get Kansas City fatigue?
I won't. I mean, no, when you're the fan, you don't get fatigue.
Okay. But news-wise.
Well, but from a group, come on. How much do you, how many people have you known or heard of that were just, I'm sick and tired of hearing about the Patriots. I'm sick and tired of hearing about Tom Brady.
Oh, ton of people.
Exactly. Right. Ton. And that's
because the other fans are like,
I mean, it's like that in any sport. People got, why do people hate Duke? All right. Why do people hate Alabama? Why do people hate Clemson? Why do people hate the Yankees? Why do people hate the Lakers? You know, I mean, it's just when you are a juggernaut and you run your sport, people, you know, for the haves and the have-nots, they get tired of it.
Okay.
And the NBA has ridden the LeBron James train for so long. All right, which is why I don't think it's a coincidence that you've seen so much Kevin Durant news. All right, why you've seen so much talk about Brooklyn. All right, why you've seen so much talk about Milwaukee. The NBA is trying desperately, whatever they can do, to do anything to get some, to have somebody generate some news and generate some excitement, not name LeBron James.
Okay, I can go with that.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because think about it. If it's not LeBron, who are you getting excited about? If it's not your team. I mean, obviously, we're in Houston, so we've got our own bleep show to watch and circus to get behind,
right?
With James Harden and everything that the Rockets are doing. But from an NBA perspective, Kevin Durant,
okay.
Outside of that, what young gun are you riding with?
Well, I was gonna say Giannis. I was gonna go with Steph Curry. All those guys coming back. You know, some news out there that I would like to know more about, although my guy only scored 9 points last night.
Well, yeah, but you're looking, yeah, and you're over here doing your monkey knife fights. That's the reason why you're all knee-deep on it. All right, coming up next, we'll take a look at what the Texans are doing in preparation for Week 17 against the Tennessee Titans, and we'll start looking at the AFC playoff matchup and the NFC playoff matchups as well, plus three bold moves. We'll get the New Year's Eve talk started, right? Three bold moves that we want to see from the National Football League in 2021. What are they? Stick around. We'll get to that in this hour. Plus, who's our guest in the 9 o'clock hour? We'll tell you that and more. Don't you go anywhere. It's ESPN.
97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Something for my godson Elijah and a little girl named Corinne.
Some say the black of the better. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Tupac. Have we decided if he's still alive or not? Are we still...
Where are we at?
You decided
that?
He was.
Yeah, we all decided.
We decided if he's coming back. Because if... Tell you what, I feel like 2020 is the one year, though, for all his conspiracy theorists out there.
Yeah, you thought Obama was going to pardon him. I really did. Trump didn't pardon him.
And if Trump didn't pardon him, then ain't nobody going to pardon him. If you can't get a pardon from Trump, you ain't getting pardoned in 2020. That's all there is to it. That dude. Tell you what, say what you want, whether you like Trump or not. He's ride or die. If you're one of Trump's boys, you getting pardoned.
It may not seem like I'm ride or die, but I got you back in the end.
That's right.
Be a little patient with me. I'm going to work this out.
Listen. Just hang out. Chill out.
You know.
We got this.
Stay out the showers.
That's right.
If you drop the soap, you clean.
Listen. Let's let this whole voting thing blow over. As soon as that does, I got you. We're gonna go and get you pardoned. We're gonna play this. We're gonna play some Burger McFarland audio here in a little bit. Maybe this segment or the next. It's got the internet going nuts. So essentially, our boy Booger went off yesterday about Dwayne Haskins getting released and commented about how black players need to spend less time focusing on their brand and their social media and spend more time focused on becoming better football players and treat football as a business instead of as a game. And he has caught a fair amount of flack for said comment.
Why?
Because he only pointed out black players and that he didn't use, for every Dwayne Haskins, there's a Johnny Manziel.
Really? How many guys did you name when we first spoke about this? You said Johnny Manziel, Ryan Leaf.
Yeah, I mean,
keep going.
Your color, your what am I trying to say here? Your poster boys for said flameouts, public flameouts, would be your Johnny Manziels, your Jamarcus Russells, your Ryan Leafs, and now Dwayne Haskins. So really, it's two for two. Two white guys, two black guys that have now flamed out in dramatic fashion in the NFL. First-round quarterback types.
Well, he's speaking from his point of view as being a black player.
That's kind of what I thought. I mean, I'm a white guy, so I didn't want to, suppose too much.
Because I understand how he felt about it, but you know what he was trying... The reality is, let me ask you this.
Ask me.
Is, let's say, I don't know, a quarterback not in the league. Your favorite guy, Kaepernick.
Okay.
Is he a better quarterback than Schaub? Right now?
No.
No.
No, okay. He's not.
Because he hadn't played for 18 years.
Forever and a day. Forever and a day.
Okay, but look at the lineage and the history. And in the NFL, you don't have black backup guys that have played the game, been very successful, then get to the end of their career, still on teams.
We talked about that with Jason Campbell the other day.
Okay. At the end of my career, 14 years.
Starting
14 years. Did I get a 1 or 2 year grace period of just sitting on the bench, being the backup, coming in and filling in?
No, you didn't.
Most black players don't.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that, you know, I'm just putting it out there from my perspective of what I've seen. Because I've seen guys that been on my team that offensive lineman that's just a snapper for the kickoff, I mean for the field goal and the punt guy.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman go down. I ain't going in. Don't know nothing. Don't even practice with the team. Not black guys. Look at how the quarterbacks hang around and the other white guys that are on the team that play 2 or 3 years, still on the team.
Yeah.
3 or 4 more years. After your skill set goes down on your durability as a black athlete, in my opinion. Bye-bye. Thank you so much. We love all the stuff you've done. You're out of here.
Right.
You don't get that free check sitting on the bench. You don't get that money.
Right.
And I can understand some of the positions when he said black players, because we can only speak from it, because I'm a black player. I saw it.
Exactly.
I know that when I was done playing, when I could not play anymore, I was not going to be on another team unless I was coaching.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to be no consultant. Right. I had to earn a job as a viable coach.
Yeah.
To be to continue on the team.
Yeah, there wasn't going to be any
sitting on the bench.
You were going to be the sixth defensive lineman.
Exactly.
On the roster. All right, do you have the clip? All right, so this is Booger McFarland from ESPN talking about black players out in the wake of Dwayne Haskins being cut.
You know, unfortunately, I've seen this too many times. Played in the NFL almost a decade. You played a long time. We've been around it for a long time. And oftentimes, young players, especially, and I'm going to go here, especially young African-American players, because they make up 70% of this league. They come into this league and they ask themselves the wrong thing. They come into the league saying not, how can I be a better player? They don't say, how can I be a better teammate? They don't say, how can I be better, a better person? How can I get my organization over the hump? Here's what they come in saying. They come in saying, how can I build my brand better? How can I build my social media following better? How can I work out on Instagram and show everybody that I'm ready to go, but when I get to the game, I don't perform? Dwayne Haskins, unfortunately, is not the first case that I've seen like this.
Yes.
And it won't be the last. And it bothers me because a lot of it is the young African-American player. They come in and they don't take this as a business. It is still a game to them.
They look at it as this football.
This ain't football, right, man. This is a billion-dollar business.
Yes.
It's billions of dollars. They pay us a lot of money to talk about the game. So imagine what they pay these guys to play the game.
Yes. Yeah.
They play a child's game and get paid a king's ransom. And it bothers me because I saw a quarterback do it. I saw Jamarcus Russell do it. The number one pick in the draft, they gave him $40 million and he threw it down the damn drain because he didn't take it seriously. And it bothers me because there ain't a lot of jobs like this around.
Mm-mm.
I'm going to tell you, I've been retired a while. It's not a lot of jobs like that around where they will pay you millions of dollars for virtually 6 months of performance. So my message to Dwayne Haskins, not just him, but the rest of the young players in the NFL, man, this is a game, but take it as a business. There are billions with a B of dollars at stake. And until you start approaching this game that way, until you start coming to work saying, you know what? What can I do to get better today? What can I do to make sure my teammates are better today? How can I put my organization first instead of my damn Instagram? Take it as a serious business, but too many times it's a game. We want a TikTok. We want to do all these different things. Man, do you understand how much money is at stake?
Solid points. Solid points. And for him to get any flack behind it.
Oh, he's got a lot of flack.
Well, you know what? Maybe I'm going to catch flack, but I'm the kind of guy who don't give a whoop.
All right, so for instance.
Helped you out though now when I helped you out.
Okay, so for instance, Mike Freeman, longtime NFL writer. The issue with Haskins isn't that he was trying to build a brand. The issue is that he's like a lot of young players of all stripes who didn't understand how much work it takes to be an NFL player. There is no racial component to that.
There shouldn't have been, but he was giving advice to young black.
I mean, that's kind of, I mean, I didn't, here's what, and this is probably a bigger
and
lesson.
Here's the thing what I think people are seeing. Well, white guys do it too. We're not talking to white guys. White guys get
There's already things in place where white people can go and get, like, as you alluded to, the system's already kind of designed to help them succeed, correct?
Correct.
Right? So, because here's the reality of it, right? Have we seen any videos of Johnny Manziel looking destitute or broke anywhere?
No.
I mean, the last video we saw of him on Instagram was him jumping off a cliff, like a rock cliff into a water, right? Like, you know,
yeah.
Hanging out, doing, you know.
Was that a metaphor of his career?
Well, you could argue, yeah. Actually, that's a pretty safe assumption right there, Henry Thomas. But, I mean, you know, he's off doing, you know, when you got oil money, you can pretty much, you know, if the NFL career doesn't pan out, last I checked, oil money hasn't dried up yet, so he's doing okay.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. Ryan Leaf I will say this. Ryan Leaf had a drug problem. All right. And I get it. He's the poster boy that we like to go to when we talk about it. And, you know, that's kind of the underpinning that we forgot with Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell, I don't know, but I mean, you know, call drinking lean what you want, whether you consider it a drug problem or not. It's definitely a problem.
Right.
It definitely led to the demise of his career. It was one of the factors.
Yeah, led to eating disorder.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I've yet to hear the NFL players say, yeah, drinking lean really helped my NFL career.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm surprised, but I'm not, by the number of people. But again, this is in the essence of this show, peak 2020, as we like to say, where even in 2020, a black man making a point in a sport he played in a league he played in, making a plea to other black players, younger black players,
coming in
wake of something that just happened, and trying to use it as a teachable moment to other black players to help them. Hey, listen, this is a little behind the scenes, kind of a peek, you know, behind the curtain a little bit,
right,
about what y'all need to be doing differently. Coming from a black man who's been there, done that, but yet we're going to be mad at him because you singled out black players and not white people too.
Hey,
like, that's what we're mad about.
Well, I hope he never apologizes, because
he hasn't. Booger McFarland has not, nor should he.
I'm going to reach out to my fellow LSU Tiger and let him know, hey, man, I like it.
That's it. All right, coming up next, we'll get your thoughts on this and more. Little Rockets Texans talk as we count down the end of the program, as we count down the end of 2020. What are your 2020 moments? Let's hear about it, non-COVID related. Don't forget, we got haikus going down in the 10 o'clock hour as well. Lots to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's the HD Show on ESPN.
97.5 and 92.5.
Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Final segment of the hour, boys and girls. Hey, everybody on Twitch. Glad to have you guys on board. No local programming here on ESPN 97.5 tomorrow. John Belmer said, "The hell with it. I'm not coming in." I heard you were the card that took down the entire House of Cards.
Oh, really?
Once they found out that you weren't coming in, everything just collapsed.
Well, I'll be here anyways. I'm the one running those bowl games, so I'll be here.
Oh, you're gonna be here anyway.
You're the ones, you know, that aren't coming in. So
only because we were told not to.
Yeah, they kicked us out.
Hey, wasn't anything we did.
Might have been.
Huh?
Might have been.
Well, let's put it this way. It wasn't anything financial.
That we'll give it to him.
It wasn't a financial disagreement. Yeah, that is for sure. Let's jump out to the HRNP listener line. Let's welcome in our boy, Reggie. What's up, Reggie?
Hey, bro. How you doing?
Swell. How are you?
John Henry. How's it going?
Hey, man. I'm trying to make it. Happy New Year.
Same to you and you guys. Enjoy. Hey, I enjoyed the interview with the GM yesterday. Hey, man, I wish he would come out of retirement and come here and do the Texans for us. But, Henry, I actually called you because I've been talking about Dwayne Haskins on the radio for a while. And you are a Houston product. The thing I was telling these guys is, look, I hate when they drafted him there, being from that area. You're giving a young black man millions of dollars going back home to where people don't have millions of dollars. And the pressure from your family, your friends to help pay bills and do those things. That man young man didn't have a chance at that organization due to the fact he does not have the capability of understanding what money does.
Absolutely.
He has the capability how to give money out and help people. And not be at practice to go to these strip clubs and swindle his opportunity in a league. And I brought this up to Andy Kalu and guys like that. Hey, man, look here. Who do I compare him to? Vince Young, DeMarcus Russell. Those guys didn't get another chance. And HT, you're downright on the point when you say those guys who do the snap for the extra point and the punt team get way more opportunity. And I'm going to throw another nugget at you. Look at Chase Daniels. This guy has made almost $40 million backing up. Look fat, slow, like that fat Sebastian kicker the other day in the game. Looked like he had no idea what he was doing. But he's making a check every week, every Tuesday. He's picking up a check to back somebody up. Because you're not going to see any other young men, black men, get that chance at that position. Cam Newton swindling another opportunity. And I had a place for him to go if he could go to Pittsburgh, speaking of Haskins, and because Ben Roethlisberger is over and Mason Rudolph is horrible, he would be able to learn under a good coach, learn under a great coach and a great organization that's known for giving black African Americans chances to thrive, from coaches to players and everything else. And I just want your opinion, because you're from here, and how would that have affected you being from Houston if you'd have got selected by the Oilers? And I hang up in this.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's hot right there.
Man, Reggie.
To get drafted by the Oilers as a kid, because, you know, my whole career in the NFL, I got one game in Houston.
Yeah.
And I was in my 10th or 11th season. And
you were grown by then.
But I bought 109 tickets.
Yeah.
107 people showed up.
How much different, though, would it have been for you? I just feel like, and since I know you, I feel like you would have had the kind of support system, though, in place at home.
I would have had some remnants of support system, but you got to understand,
it would have been a daily, because there wasn't no, because at least in Minnesota, you were able to get away.
The distance was a buffer. I mean, yeah. They had to find out where Minnesota was. They couldn't just come on over. You know, it was not like
if I was in the 80s.
Yeah, if I was in like Georgia, Houston, Louisiana, you know, that's the little circle. Oklahoma, oh yeah. Minnesota, they was like scratching their head like Minnesota.
That's not a just jump in the car and drive on up type of drive.
We ain't going to go hang out with you, you know.
No brothers really trying to hang out in Minnesota.
I mean, a few times I've known my father to fly, it was because I was in Minnesota. I mean, Normally we went somewhere. Oh, we was taking the Lincoln, baby. We pulling that back in the Chrysler out, you know.
Turning the music down.
Taking that one Chrysler with the record player out and riding on, having a good time. But you're absolutely right to be home with that kind of success. But you, for your friends and your family, when you get drafted on a team, and if you're at home, what they don't understand is that's not the success. Mm-hmm. That's the beginning. The journey is the success. And that's things that you have to, I can say that now looking back. I mean, because there's a few things that I would do differently if I could go back and do it. Not many, but a few. I have no regrets about any of them. But if I could change them,
maybe one or two.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, and that's, but here's, I guess my thing is this. A, you've got a team in the Redskins, the football team.
Yes.
Who, we know Daniel Snyder, the owner, was the impetus behind this draft pick.
Right.
In Dwayne Haskins. Clearly, if the owner wants it done, it's going to get done.
But here's the thing. If you're the impetus in this pick, you also have to be that buffer for him. You got to understand what those pressures are with him coming in. If you step up and say, this is the guy, you also have to step up and put that security around him, yourself involved, saying, look, I need you to do this. This is why I wanted you. This is why you're here. I'm going to be here for this, this, and this. You know, he didn't do that. He was just like, there's a talent. He's from home, here and home. He'll get people in the seat, bang, and it's over.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. I mean, for all kids, I mean, the most idiotic thing has a player that I thought the league implemented was a rookie symposium.
Oh, the symposium?
Symposium. I was 4 or 5 years into the league, so I never got an opportunity. But having participated and seen the measures that the league put in for them to understand, because, you know, when I heard it, I thought it was going to be like my combine. My combine to me was, you know, I was in there a little.
Yeah.
I turned a couple up the night before.
Half-rocked.
Yeah. And went out there and did my thing. But having seen it and been a small part of it at one time, just I was asked to. And seeing what they all the scenarios, all the classes, all the different things they try to put into these young men in a week period is phenomenal.
Yeah.
if you take one or two things from that, you're on the road to success.
That's it.
Yeah.
You just got to get a couple things out of it.
Yeah, but you, there's a lot of guys you have to continue. Well, for everyone, you have to continue to reintegrate. Hey, look, no, you got to do this. Hey, you shouldn't do that. You can do what you want. This is the thing that a lot of guys don't. It's how you present it to them. Look, you got, here's five roads. You can take any of these roads. In my experience, these three roads are the best.
Right.
These other two, but
do so at your own risk.
Exactly.
But you, now let me ask you this though: in your 14 years, you really never, you were never there. You never had a quote unquote big rookie quarterback come in.
No, never
during your 14 years.
Never.
So you
Rich,
always,
Rich Gannon and I came in the same time, and he was, I don't even know if he was, he was drafted in the 12th round.
So old, he was drafted in a round they don't even have anymore.
Boom.
That tells you all you need to know.
Something like that.
Tells you all you need to know.
And for me, I was very fortunate, very blessed to have a really crappy agent that really didn't care about me, and I found out early.
Yeah.
To go to somebody who cared about and was honestly interested
in seeing you do better.
Yeah, in my development as a person. I mean, when he said, we're going to start putting money in mutual funds. Mutual fund? What a mutual fund? What are you talking about? Put that money in the bank and then I'm going to spend it when I want. No. Here's, this year we're going to work on 7 of these 15 mutual funds. You pick the ones you want. They're all good, but I want you to be comfortable. So he made me read it. You know, it made me, I wanted to pick them because this is my money.
Yeah.
And start learning what it, and that's the first time I knew what a money a mutual fund was.
So your agent actually helped educate you
exactly
on financial things.
You know, and it was an eye-opening experience to actually be.
You were more concerned about your brand back in 87, weren't
you? No, I was more concerned about that cheddar. Money. I was gonna make the money. I was gonna spend the money. I was doing the money.
What was the Henry Thomas brand in 87?
And 97. That's all it was. 97. And Jeff Duran just stepped in and opened my eyes to, you know, a way of life to how, okay, this is great, but tell me what this is gonna be for you when you're 40.
Yeah.
I couldn't even see 40. I was like, 40. I'm 22. I'm 23.
You and you'll be what, 56 next year, give or take.
Hey, that lady I just told I was 39. He mistaken.
Gee, we're just playing. We're just playing here.
I'll be here. 56.
Dang, look at that, 56 years young. All right, we got our boy John B. working the 1-2s
and threes.
I am still that dude, Freddie D. And this soon to be 56 year old in about what, 2-3 weeks. Is the one, the only, Mr. Henry Tomas. All right, 1 hour in the books, boys and girls. Don't forget, we've got the pride of Galveston, Texas, one Mr. Reggie Ballard, a.k.a. Bruhman, joining us at 9:30, so stick around for that. Haiku's going down in the last hour. Topics are as follows. 2020 /COVID, B.O.B. /Texans, and miscellaneous, all right? Three bold moves that we want to see, as well as, where do we rank the head coaching position? Since we're going to be, you know, who knows when you're going to hear us again. Hopefully soon. I know this much. We're going to put a bow on 2020. Do it right. We'll start doing some countdowns here. But in this hour, top three things we want to see in 2021 from an NFL standpoint. And what are the rankings, or where does Houston stand in line with the other teams looking for head coaches in 2021? We'll discuss that next. Don't go anywhere. It's Houston Sports. It's Houston's ESPN
97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.